As we continue walking down some of these old roads that still lead home, that's where we're going to be walking down, gaining some wisdom and insight from the ancient Hebrew scriptures. And actually, I want to begin with a couple of verses from the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, it's a pretty big one, right there near, well, we're going to go to the beginning of 2 Chronicles. Let's see, it's one of the bigger books after 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. So you just flip through here like I'm doing, and people will think you know exactly where it is. 2 Chronicles, and I won't hold you in suspense. I'll tell you right off the bat that I was going to spend a few moments thinking about the word wisdom. Actually, our great need for wisdom. So it kind of makes sense to go back to the very beginning of the story of a man who has been called the wisest person who ever lived, and that was King Solomon, son of David. So I'm just going to start. I'm just going to read only the first two verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And it's this: Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders in Israel, the heads of families. Now, he's speaking here in the tent of meeting that Moses set up in the wilderness. And here we are in this little tent of meeting, first built in 1895. And today it looks quite beautiful out there, but you know, once that wind gets whistling, it might look a little like a wilderness out there. So we'll say hi to you folks keeping warm and cozy at home on Zoom. But something struck me in those first two verses, and I want to take you back to last Monday. I decided to sleep in a little bit. Well, I didn't set my alarm. It had been a pretty busy week, the one previous. Lots to do on Sunday, so I was just kind of easing into the day, you know, reading from my devotional book. Hey, there you are, Mark, good for you. Yeah, devotional book, it's a good thing to have. And then I just started flipping through some pages in my Bible, wondering, what am I going to speak on next, right? Because that's kind of what you do. You finish one sermon on Sunday, and then, okay, what are you going to do next week? And I thought for a moment about these people that Solomon was addressing. Right, we have commanders, we have leaders, we have judges, we have heads of households. Now, Monday was also the last day of February, and the sun was shining. I was looking forward to spring, kind of like I'm doing today. And then I just had this idea to check something. Do you know, I discovered last Monday was exactly 1 year ago to the day that I sent a little message to Kevin and Diane. Well, I just heard that Pastor Colin, who served a number of years here, was taking on a new ministry in Nova Scotia. And I said, well, I'm just letting you folks know I'm still alive, still out here. Anything I can do to help, even if, I don't know, maybe you just need someone in the meantime to maybe do some sermons, that kind of a thing. Well, I did speak on several Sundays back in April and May, and then it was in the month of June that I began here as the pastor of Generations Community Church. And I mentioned this a couple weeks back. You know, a friend of mine was recently asking me, wondering, wow, it's got to be strange trying to pastor a church, you know, during a pandemic. And there are all kinds of things I wish we could return to. And Lord willing, we're going to return to more and more of that, right? As we learn to live with, well, right now, this virus that doesn't seem to be really going away, but maybe it's weakening. I certainly hope so. And thanks for mentioning the prayer meeting on Zoom. I think that went very well. I mean, it'd be great to have a prayer meeting here, but no, I was really glad that I was there on Wednesday night, that's for sure. But I thought about, you know, I've started using a copy of the church directory. I'm using it as my bookmark in my little devotional book. right? It's a reminder to me just to spend a few minutes every day to pray for some of these 20 or so households. I have kind of a responsibility for you now. Every morning, I try to take a moment to pray for every single one of you. Now, not every day, but I pick a few families every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to seek the Lord for wisdom. Now, back on Monday, it was really fresh in my mind. Those of you who were joining us on Zoom last week, you'll recall there was a heaviness that we were all feeling. And it's not gone away, right, with what's happening in Ukraine. We were praying for peace in Ukraine. We were praying for peace between brothers and sisters in the Lord, so divided here in this country. Recent events that unfolded over several weeks in the nation's capital, in some of the border towns, still happening in smaller numbers, by the way. There are still protests going on in places like Ottawa. Now, a man I've known for several years, he posted on Facebook a lengthy article. And he just took one of the lines from the article and he used it as his opening statement. It said this. He said, "When God couldn't find any good pastors, he sent in truckers to do the job." And I know. And I thought, what? And do you know how much that hurt? What? All these useless pastors, so God has to send truckers? I mean, yeah, I could learn how to blow a horn like anybody else, but to do what kind of a job? What is my job anyway? Well, a couple of people challenged him on that article, thankfully, you know, saying they knew of several pastors who were actually trying very hard to navigate life during a pandemic, trying to serve their churches. Now, he said he's lost a lot of friends because of his views, and I have actually tried to remain as one of his friends. It has not been easy, but you see, I won't get into too much to reveal who this person is, but we had been very close. We had a very good relationship. We were even in ministry together for several years, like a decade or more, and I've always tried to keep the lines of communication open, not always successfully. And I really try hard these days, you know, not to get into it with people. Their minds are pretty much made up. But I said to him, I said, you know, I get it. Criticism is always going to be a part of this job. Not everybody is going to be happy with everything you say or do. Just ask a politician. No wonder God asks us, well, commands us to keep praying for those people. That can't be an easy job. So discouragement is sometimes part of the job. But you know, it's always sad when the ammunition that is being sent your way comes from guns that are pointing at you being held by members of the body of Christ, right? It was Chuck Swindoll who said the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded. It's true. And I said, I know all kinds of faithful men and women just trying to be faithful in a very challenging time. So I said to him, I said, you know, I may not always be good at it. You've discovered that already. But as long as God still sees fit to use broken vessels, then I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to look after whatever small flock he decides to put under my care. Now, I asked him if he could at least reconsider changing that opening line. It was still in the article, but first thing you look at when you look at this guy's Facebook post. So, to his credit, he did edit that out. I sent him a private message to thank him. Now, I'm telling you all this for this reason. Most of us are not going to be commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds. Although, some of you are in positions of leadership, right? Maybe at the place where you work. Maybe there are people under your authority. I've known a few people. They've managed some very large, very successful businesses. They were responsible for many families' livelihoods. Now, they made a good living, sure, but they also gave so much to their employees. During recent times of recession, like in 2008, during these last 2 years especially. In fact, I watched at least one or two of them lose their business. They were heartbroken, not just for their own losses, but they were no longer able to keep their hardworking employees who were now having to find other ways to support their family, other sources of income. Some of you are responsible as heads of your household, whatever that actually means in 2022. But you have children depending on you. As we prayed, and as we know, there are some of you looking after older family members. Maybe you're supporting a spouse going through a very difficult season. Maybe it's a close friend who is looking to you for some kind of strength. Where are your resources going to come from? Who is up to these kinds of challenges that the Lord may put in our paths? What do you and I need? Well, I already gave you the hint right off the bat. And it is right here, by the way, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You've no doubt heard about this, but let's all refresh our memories. We're going to jump down to verse number 7. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." How about that? A blank check from God. Just fill in the amount, it's already signed. Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was ever before you ever had, and none after you ever will have." And then Solomon went to Jerusalem from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. Now, isn't it good that sometimes God gives us even more than what we ask for? But what was first in Solomon's request? Right? Wisdom and knowledge. And of course, that has to come from God. Now, Solomon is an example, by the way. His life, if you read through 2 Chronicles, his life, it's an example. There are pitfalls that can come. There are mistakes people make if they've been blessed with wealth or possessions or honor. He did make some errors in his life, particularly with his relationship to women and being enticed to go after other deities besides the one true God. Thankfully, God still does use broken vessels. And Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs that are in our Bible, and they're all collected there just after the book of Psalms. In fact, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. So there you are, Job, Psalms, Proverbs chapter 8. Solomon knew what it was to be led astray. He's hoping to keep his sons from following in some of Dad's footsteps. Now, here in Proverbs, he is going to present two women. And I want to make very clear that in Proverbs chapter 2, He also says wisdom will keep you from wicked men. Okay, so this is not to pick on one gender over the other. It applies to both. But in Proverbs 7, he gives a warning, right? Avoid the adulterous woman. Now then, my sons, it says, starting in verse 24, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. Her house is a highway to the grave. That's chapter 7. But in chapter 8, we have another woman. One who also, like the wayward woman, calls out, right? Hey, going my way. Her name is Wisdom. Actually, the Hebrew word translated into Greek is the word Sophia. She even has a woman's name. Now, some people have gone too far with that. They've elevated this woman to some kind of goddess status, right? Some people even worship the goddess Sophia. Some people say, no, this is the Holy Spirit. But Wisdom, Sophia, does say some very interesting things about herself. Proverbs chapter 8, we'll drop down to verse 22. Yep, now you got the slide. I didn't forget. And neither did you. Proverbs 8, verses 22 says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place. Before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the mountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Now we know this is not the Holy Spirit because we are told here that wisdom was created. In fact, some cult members, once COVID is settled down more, they may come to your door again, and some of them actually use, out of context, these verses from Proverbs 8 to say, look, there's Jesus. Jesus isn't God. Jesus was created. First of his works, of course, but he was right there with him. But all three members of the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always existed. They had no beginning. They will have no end. Try to wrap your head around that. But we're talking allegorically here. Solomon is using some pretty flowery language. Wisdom. And it's God's own wisdom. And he used it in his creation of the heavens and the earth. And back in verse 11 of Proverbs 8, we're told the same thing. Solomon himself realized it when he first asked the Lord to fill in that blank check. Right? It says, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Verse 35 says, those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. And if you glance over into chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs, that's where you'll find this much repeated phrase in the Bible. It's Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom, yeah, knowledge of the Holy One. By the way, it's so important to take time to listen for the Lord's voice, right? Quietly. Now, when we think about knowledge of the Holy One, though, it's not just Bible knowledge, okay? Not just facts. In fact, there's a TV show put on by the Seventh-day Adventists called Amazing Facts. It's all these amazing facts. No, it's not getting more Bible knowledge. It's It's knowing Him through this book. How do you know when somebody has some of that wisdom and knowledge? Well, for that, we'll venture into the New Testament for a moment. And if you want to turn there, we're going to go back to some pretty familiar territory, back to our series in the book of James, way back in the summertime. James chapter 3, just after the book of Hebrews, there near the end of the New Testament. And it's interesting, James also depicts not two kinds of women, but two kinds of wisdom, earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. James 3, starting at verse 13, he said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Aren't we finding a lot of bitter envy and selfish ambition these days? But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Wow, may we all look more and more like that. How important this all is here in our day and our time, in our generation. You know, I was thinking of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12, where he said, "Teach us to number our days." Why? So we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I think we learned that too, come to think of it, that that has the idea of weighing our days, realizing that, ooh, in light of eternity, they're pretty light. We don't live here forever, right? But as we think about eternity, as we put that in our mind, oh, then we gain a heart of wisdom. Make it your goal. Make it your goal right there near the very top of the list. And since it's my job now these past 8 months, class, where will we find all of this wisdom? Right here in the Bible. Why do I keep harping on reading this book, right? Now, Mark shared for us that verse where, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, right? But it's talking about, a light that they would have had back then. You know, that's a nice bright one somebody put in for us, eh? But you know, you think about, you've seen the infomercials, you know, for those bright, bright lights you can get now. No, this was a lamp. This was a little lamp, bit of oil in it, bit of a wick. In fact, the light that it gave for your path was about like that. You could see a couple steps, not much more. So you had to keep walking with the light, and you had to keep following God and trusting Him that, okay, up there is too dark, but okay, all right, I can see one step, two steps, three steps. I'll just keep walking with you. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. So stay in this book. Not just to learn stuff. No, stay in it because it will change you. And for whatever situation you find yourself in, however many people God will call on you to influence, because He will. In fact, He already has, right? You are all, and you folks there on the Zoom, you're influencers in more ways than you'll ever know. Solomon would tell us, in fact, these words come from Proverbs chapter 2. I'll probably stop reading before we get to the wicked men, but there you go. They're there too. We're not just bothering women. But Proverbs chapter 2, and you know, written by a very wise man, but every much a flawed human being as you and I are. Great hope in that, by the way. And he says in Proverbs 2, he said, my son, and we'll add daughters. My son, my daughters, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Won't happen overnight, but may God bless us all in that pursuit of wisdom and knowledge that comes from walking with him. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, you are the source of wisdom. Active fear of the Lord is just the beginning of it. And so many, Father, so many of us have just started. We just went to that beginning place. We received Christ as our Savior. We prayed a sinner's prayer, and then we kind of went on our own life. Lord, help us all to always commit, recommit, rededicate, how often we have to do it, but to following you, to seeking you, to accepting your word, storing up your commands within us. Oh God, let us turn our ear to wisdom. Let us apply our hearts to understanding. It's far more precious than silver or gold because it's from you. And we need it. We need it in our day and age. Grant it to us, we ask. And we'll give you every praise and every glory. In Jesus' name, amen.